الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. The title of the khutbah is Al-Fasad. Is anyone familiar with the translation for the word fasad? Corruption. Probably the most accurate translation. Mischief is correct as well, but corruption. Because as we go with the, as we deliver or they translate the khutbah, you will see that corruption takes on different forms. Whereas mischief is somewhat restricted to one form of problems. The Shaykh began the khutbah by quoting an ayah in the book of Allah, which you should all be familiar with, where Allah says that ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر, corruption has appeared on the land and in the sea due to what the people have earned with their own hands, so that Allah may make them taste some of what they have put forth, لعلهم يرجعون, perhaps that will be a reason for them to return to Allah. The conclusion of the ayah is that every form of corruption you see in this world, be it in the oceans or on land, is because of the earnings of human beings. Meaning we human beings cause corruption in all of its various forms to take place because of our own deeds. The Shaykh went on to say, corruption is a social phenomena that has been afflicting human beings ever since we can remember. It is it's an illness. It's a very difficult illness to treat that has afflicted countries, societies, irrespective of whether they were rich or poor, educated or ignorant, whether it was dictatorial or it was democratic, whether it was strong or weak, whatever the case may be, everyone has had his own share of corruption. And it is something that has to do with the human being's tendency to acquire wealth or property which he deep down knows does not belong to him, yet he still strives to acquire it. You know that this doesn't belong to you deep within. Nevertheless, you still make an effort to acquire this whatever, this property, unlawfully. This is the summary of the term fasad, or this is what it results in. Now, it has taken on different forms in the world, and it is deeply rooted in the mentality of the societies. And the Shaykh is saying that he believes that this corruption is a more difficult task to tackle than terrorism. As in, the societies and the governments in the future will have a greater problem trying to defeat corruption than defeating terrorism, making it more dangerous than terrorism. In fact, terrorism is a form of corruption, truthfully speaking. Now, of course, when we say terrorism, we have to define terrorism. When you hear the word terrorist, terrorism, we have been brainwashed, even as Muslims, to think of Muslims, which is what the media wants. They want you to think that once that term appears or is heard, you automatically think of bearded men with, you know, somewhere on a mountain with a gun. This is what brainwashing does. You don't think of the real terrorists killing innocent people all over the world. These are freedom fighters. We have become the terrorists according to their definition, but that requires a lecture. And you cannot, as a Muslim, be so naive to believe whatever the media tells you, because they deliberately tell you what they want you to believe. And you have your own set of beliefs. So terrorism is when people are victimized even though they're innocent, which is what Muslims suffer from all over the world. We are the most victimized people in the world. Hindus want to kill Muslims. Christians want to kill Muslims. Jews want to kill Muslims. Atheists, everybody wants to harm the Muslims. We are the victims of terror. We are not the terrorists. But when we do retaliate, which is our right to do so, then they say, look, you are engaging in terrorism as well. Now, we don't deny there are some groups, individuals, organizations in the Muslim world that misrepresent us, that actually do kill innocent people in the name of Islam, which Islam doesn't endorse, and that is a form of terrorism which Muslims are involved in. But that is a minority. The majority are people in their own country being attacked by a foreign country, defending themselves, and then they call them terrorists. That's just brainwashing. So terrorism is actually a form of corruption. I was hoping the Sheikh would allude to that, but I guess we got the chance to do it ourselves. Now the Sheikh said, some statistics, according to the United Nations, that addressed the amount of money that was being stolen to be approximately $1,600 billion, or $1,600 billion of wealth is stolen annually from major organizations. And the sad news that around $30 to $40 billion or even more are spent on bribery. You know, you bribe someone to get something done, which is really your right. Or sometimes it is not your right, and you don't have the right to get it, but you pay someone money and then you have it. Either way, it is not right. Now the scholars have a very important fatwa which I must mention now, so no one will leave with a misunderstanding. Sometimes there's a right of yours which for whatever reason you can't get unless you pay money. It's your right. Allah gave it to you. Islam provided you with that right. But some entity, some individual, some whatever is preventing you from your right. And that right of yours cannot be acquired unless you pay money. The scholars say, in such case, you are permitted to pay the money because you're getting your right. And it is haram for the consumer, not haram for the one making the payment. You're allowed because you're not trying to get something that is fishy, something that is not yours. This is your right. These people are creating an obstacle which shouldn't be there. But they want to make money out of your need. You pay them as long as you've tried everything else. You've tried all lawful means. When nothing else works, you pay them. It's haram for them, not haram for you. Why? Because anta muttar. You are, you know, necessitated to do this. You are forced to do something against your own will. Had they given you your right for free, you wouldn't pay even a riyal. Would you? No one would want to pay extra money. He said, just give me my right. So this you need to understand, because in some areas, you find yourself having to pay some money to get something that shouldn't require any money. So have a peace of mind that you are not guilty as long as you exhaust all other means to do this thing lawfully. Now, imagine this now. Among the 10 most corrupt countries in the world, 8 of them are Arab or Islamic countries. Arab/Islamic, meaning it could be Islamic, not Arab, it could be Arab, not Islamic, whatever. 8 out of the 10 is a title given to us, the Muslims. I mean, of course, this is statistics, whether it is sound or not, it's irrelevant. And I'll tell you something else. If we're going to go to paradise and they're going to go to hell, who cares what the statistics of the United Nations have to say? You know, and we're not endorsing this. We say, yeah, we should fight against it and stop it. But at the end of the day, it's a matter of Jannah and Jahannam. When it's all said and done, if the United Nations said the worst countries in the world are the Muslim countries and they're in the hellfire, we just don't care. But we should, for our own religious commitment, strive against corruption because Islam is against it. Not because the United Nations doesn't like it, because we don't like it. Because sometimes we give too much value of the opinions of these losers, and a loser, when he speaks, he's just a loser. And everything that comes out of his mouth is a loss. So Allah musta'an. The Shaykh said, fasad is a term which has multiple meanings. And then he elaborated on that, or he mentioned, he actually gave me the English equivalent of some of the words, which is amazing. Basically, fasad is to misuse, is the misusage of a position which one has to acquire some personal benefit. That's one another definition of fasad. We gave one in the beginning, which he gave. The second one is the misusage of a position or a status you have to acquire some personal benefit, something that is specific to you. Then he mentioned some forms of fasad. Rashwa, we said bribery, ibtizaz, blackmailing, استغلال النفوذ, influence, trying to influence people because of your status, المحسوبية, nepotism, which in other words is, you're my buddy, and so you become the mudir. Yeah, but he's not qualified. Yeah, I know. But there's another qualified candidate waiting outside. Yeah, I know. But he's my buddy. He's my friend. So you go ahead and run this business, even though he can't even run, he can't run anything. He can't even run. But they give him the position of leadership because, well, he knows, you know, my cousin, my this and my that. Now, we don't deny that you may get some privilege because you're related to someone, provided that you're qualified. Your qualification may get you. I mean, your qualification and what the ulama call as the same one we use for the Prophet alayhi sallam, shafa'a. Shafa'a hasana, mentioned in the Quran. You may intercede for someone who's qualified. In which case, there's no harm that this person is given this right, provided that he's qualified. But giving it to an unqualified person while ignoring the qualified individuals, this shafa'a is no good, and this act is unacceptable Islamically. He went on to say, al-muhaba, favoritism. I favor you over others. It's almost the same. Ihtiyal, fraud. Wal-ikhtilas, embezzlement. And see, they're in English. So, jazallah khair. Otherwise, it would have been your homework right now to come up with the definitions or the translations of all these words. The Sheikh said, furthermore, some say, or there's a tendency to say, that corruption is only in governmental institutes. That the corruption is only there. He said the truth is, the actual regular ordinary businesses, those which are not related to the government, have just as much as corruption, if not more. In fact, very often the corruption in the government or in governmental institutes has to do with these other organizations which are not related to the government. So everybody got a share of the sin in this regard. then he detailed the kinds of corruption. And he said there's al-fasad al-idari, administrative corruption. Administrative corruption, al-fasad al-mali, financial corruption, al-fasad al-akhlaqi, moral corruption, wal-fasad al-siyasi, political corruption. He said, and perhaps the last one is the one which is most prevalent. And due to it, actually, many of the other corruptions seem to appear. Then he started to elaborate on each one, beginning with al-fasad al-akhlaqi, moral corruption. He said that it manifests in the diversion and the misconduct of the people or the societies, whether it is Western or Eastern societies, whether they are Arabs or non-Arabs, Islamic or non-Islamic. For instance, there are more than 320 pornographic channels on the satellite, European satellite dishes. 320, basically displaying and broadcasting around the clock pornography. He mentioned that some of these companies are actually owned by Arab businessmen, who initially invested 460 million euros and wound up with 1,000 million euros. So they made a tremendous amount of money in 7 years only. Excuse me. He said, you can imagine the gravity of that corruption, which one acquires from the prevalence or the spread of these pornographic channels. This is besides of the other channels, which may not be pornography in this ultimate sense, but they kind of broadcast, you know, all these soap operas where women are not wearing hijab. It's always about love, you know. She fell in love with this man, and so she cheats on her husband, and then she becomes pregnant, and so then they have to find a way to, you know, get rid of the child and abortion. These are basically the love stories that they put on TV. If you have a TV, and if you don't have a TV, you've done one of the best choices in your life ever for you and for your children, because you really don't need it. You don't. There's nothing really beneficial there except nothing. And that nothing, you know, Islamic channel, that's the best thing you can get. These Islamic channels very often are not ones which you can listen to. They're really not. Maybe they may bring some speakers who are qualified and whom you can learn from, and they bring you others who should not be addressing some of these Islamic matters. So even now you're getting Islamic knowledge which is kind of mixed with falsehood and truth mixed together, along with nasheed, and then they slowly but surely modernize the Muslim mentality. Oh, you can have a Muslim rapper. Okay, you can come and rap on stage. No, you can't. Okay, you're a Muslim, okay? You're not a rapper. You shouldn't be a rapper, at least. You're not a singer to be singing. You're not an actor to be acting. You're a Muslim. And that is the behavior of other people. So these things are very prevalent, which is disheartening, but we ask Allah to, you know, change the affairs of these channels. So what are these channels? The satellite dishes are broadcasting this nonsense day and night, thereby corrupting the moral behavior of children, actually parents. Parents are sometimes the bigger victims than their children. And in recent times, I don't know if you follow what happens in the local news here. You can find some of this in the Arabic newspapers. You may not find it in an English newspaper. We only know of Arab news in Saudi Gazette. But in the there has been some crazy stuff going on among the youth. Girls, you know, this girl who's been going out with this man for 6 years while her parents think she's going to college. Don't ask how. 6 years, the parents can't tell that their daughter goes with a man to his apartment. And then after one of their nice, you know, get-togethers, they're driving in the street. She comes out of the roof of the car, half naked, and she's dancing to music in front of all these shabab who are in the neighboring cars. And she caused major fitna. Of course, the hay'a, may Allah empower them, eventually busted the man and this girl, and they got her parents involved. And now the truth came out. 6 years, she's been dating a man like she's his wife, and you know, they're having this relationship, and she went to the extent that she's displaying herself half naked from the top of a car on a street in the kingdom. And so you say, where did that come from? What happened to the niqab which you're supposed to be wearing? So there's this, where did we learn this from? Movies. That's what Britney Spears does, and then she just says, oops, I did it again. Yeah, we know you did it again. You've been doing it over and over again, and this is what you're doing to the Muslims. So you allowing your children to watch this junk is a form of brainwashing which will bring about this without you even paying attention. It will just happen. It may not happen instantly, but it's already leading the society towards this kind of mentality. So this is what these dishes do, satellite dishes, do to the Muslims. Then the Sheikh spoke about the the moral corruption of the employee at work in terms of his, he does things which are inappropriate at work, or he may run a business at work other than the business he's supposed to be working. And you know that happens very often, meaning he's an employee at a company and he has his own private business on the side, but he does everything pertaining to his private business during working hours. And the actual job which he was hired for is put on hold until he finishes his personal business. You've seen that many times in your life. Or that he uses this authority to acquire different things and that are not lawful to him. The second kind is the administrative corruption. And basically it manifests in people, like we said, misusing their position to acquire things that are of personal benefit to them. This can be seen in bribery, in theft, in wasta, we should know that word, stealing money, forging documents, you know, sign it or remove a signature or change the date as necessary. This nonchalant attitude, you just don't care. You see this all the time. I was there at the bank just to cash a check. Someone gave me a check, and so for you to cash a check, you have to go to the bank. And so I'm standing over there with the guy, and it's just a little bit of money. It's nothing major, okay? He puts it in this machine that counts, you know, one time, two times, three times, okay? It's five papers, man. And so now he's done, and he has the money in his hand. And now suddenly he gets the urge to create a conversation with his workmate. And so they get into this 5-minute conversation and he keeps counting the money in his hand while he's talking. And I'm standing there. I said, are you finished? He said, yes. I'm like, okay, give me the money. And then he looks at me, and then he continues having a conversation. I look onto the other side, and the guy is on his cell phone, speaking to I don't know who, while the customer is waiting for him like this. And he's on his phone. He goes, I said, what is this, man? Then they bring him tea. Oh, you know, tea for the big mudir. Drink some tea. You need some tea now? You need to have 20, 30 people waiting in line, man. You need to finish this so we can go home. Ishada. This is crazy stuff. But this is the norm. This has become the norm. Now, if you're an employee, I hope you don't do this. Because next time around, we're going to catch you. Inshallah. But anyways, that is very common. People just don't care. And then if you complain, say what? What? I'm not going to cash a check. If you were to ask for your right in what appears to be a firm tone, they will say, get out of here. And there's nothing that you can do. Unless the mudir is your uncle. I'll say, no, you wait right over here. Ya ammo, then he will come and he will give you money and more, and then he will fire the guy tomorrow. That's how it works. Sad, but true. Then the Shaykh spoke about, lies, deceit, playing with things, distorting facts, hiding, concealing information, lack of mannerism, acquiring money unlawfully, halting a particular transaction, making it stop for whatever reason, or making it move when it's supposed to be stopped, not respecting people's time. I just spoke to you about that one right now. Not doing the job as required, being lazy and careless in taking on responsibility, displaying the secrets of the job where you work. You tell everybody else about all the problems they have if you don't have a valid reason to do so. Sometimes you may have to do so. and so on and so forth. All these different forms which all of you probably have experienced on daily basis. The Shaykh said, even though there have been many organizations set to supposedly fight against this kind of corruption, the truth is they have failed. And corruption continues to increase in the world. The third kind of corruption is the financial corruption, which is basically the distortion of certain rules and regulations in regards to wealth and how it is supposed to be handled by organizations and individuals. And again, this is something that they're supposed to have some monitoring organizations looking after these things, but they're unable to stop it. Again, it manifests in bribery, stealing money, customs, imposing custom, you know, a particular payment at the customs for you to release something or get it from one place to another, which may or may not be allowed. People taking over other people's lands and things of this sort. This leads, the Sheikh said, to lack of decent behavior, because people are no longer truthful, they're no longer trustworthy, they're no longer just, there's no equity and equality in the way they deal with things, and this leads to other crimes as well. Besides the fact that it leads to the actual rich or wealthy investors to leave and go elsewhere. They have money, they say, look, if I invest my money here, it may go away somewhat along these lines in this financial corruption, so I might as well go invest elsewhere. And if someone had this attitude, we say, don't do that. Because if you invest elsewhere, you haven't helped the cause. And investing in any non-Muslim country is investing in a riba-based country. So you're not really helping. Rather, invest here and try to fix the problem. You know, don't run away from the problem. Tackle the problem head on and try to fix it. This is what we should do. The last kind of corruption is political corruption, which is basically the misusage of particular individuals in high authority of their position, so they can acquire personal and private goals, often done in secrecy. Again, it takes on the different forms which we mentioned before. This, the Shaykh said, has to do with particular individuals, and he stressed during the khutbah that he wasn't speaking about a particular country. Because some people may misinterpret that he's trying to speak about the kingdom. No, he's speaking about these forms of corruption being worldwide. there being actually a worldwide an issue. It's not something that is only happening here, even though we see some of it here in terms of some of the examples which we gave earlier. But let not one, at least according to the Shaykh, think that he is trying to speak about particular individuals. Because people, you know, use this kind of information for their evil objectives and goals. So be careful of that. So, now the Shaykh mentioned a number of things that basically, because of this, I'm going to summarize it, because of this political corruption, the people's rights are taken away. And when the people's rights are taken away and they are oppressed, they tend to revolt and they tend to go against that. And it causes them to commit crimes which further spread corruption. So basically, the corruption of the political party will, in essence, bring about the corruption of these citizens, because they have no other choice of getting their rights. So they're all kind of related, and this is true. The Shaykh went on to say, as for the reasons, what are the reasons behind this corruption? How did it come about? First, lack of consciousness and lack of sincere religious commitment. And this is the core of the problem. Yani people don't feel guilty. You don't have that sense of guilt. And you don't fear Allah enough so that prevents you from being oppressive and from being, you know, spreading corruption. Secondly, lack of transparency and the lack of monitoring services that see what people are doing. Thirdly, lack of punishment, which prevent people from carrying on and being negligent in this regard. Fourthly, this desire, this sick desire among some people to acquire wealth, however, and in any way, shape, or form. They just don't care whether it's halal, haram, whether it is, they wind up wronging others. As long as they make the money, this is their main objective. This is a very common attitude among many people. Sixthly, the weakness of the judicial institute or system, and the fact that it may favor some people over others because of some connections which they may have. Seventhly, this complicated paperwork routine, which you have to go through to get sometimes a very simple piece of paper. You have to go through 3-4 different places. And, you know, it's a long process, even though it's something that's supposed to be done online. Now, the good news is it's happening. I don't know if you've noticed, but there has been some improvement in regards to the issues of, you know, iqama and, you know, the birth certificate. They've improved, at least from what I've seen in the last 5 years. It was very bad. Now you can book an appointment online. And you can actually go there with this appointment and you can get things done in a lesser time. Still, it's not where you want it to be. But we have to realize, out of fairness, that this country was a desert not that many years ago, Yaquan. Not that many years ago, people were still, you know, camels and sheep. It's not a civilized country in this sense. So for this country to reach that particular stage, it takes time. It takes time, it takes effort on our end as Muslims to help that, rather than going overseas and helping them. We need to exert some effort here, but you have to be patient. I mean, we're not blaming here, but realistically speaking, a country that is still developing cannot be expected to exceed countries that have already, that began upon development. They began on a modern note. We began on an old note. So we need to take it easy. Alhamdulillah, things will get better. Eventually, bi-idhnillah, things will get better. But we need to be involved. If everybody runs away because of these problems, we're not going to solve the problems. And then other people will suffer after us. Ninthly, no serious organizations that serve the civilians. Ninthly, lack of justice and the spread of, you know, people whom you know, connections that get you by. Tenthly, the lack of sincere media, which addresses the problems of these issues. The media is too busy misleading us from the path and corrupting our behavior and our morals, rather than addressing issues which are actually of benefit. And lastly, the absence of freedom for some people. Now, at the end of the khutbah, and we're very close to the end, and forgive me, he said, what is the treatment? We must have a treatment for these problems. The first one is to impose, you know, particular punishments that prevent from the spread of corruption. For example, bribery should be made as haram as theft. You know, and this is a matter where the qadi can do ijtihad, known as ta'zir. Ta'zir. So the qadi will look into this particular crime and he will judge 80 lashes, 60 lashes, depending on the crime, if there isn't anything stipulated in the Quran and the Sunnah of that punishment, which is either execution or lashing or cutting of the hand and so on and so forth. He gave an example that in China, they came up with this law that anyone who commits bribery will be executed. And so he said they executed six people, and ever since, no one ever accepted bribery afterwards. Whether this is sound or not, we do realize that this is actually, that's what Islam really, these are the laws of Islam. That's why you find that you cut the hand of the thief, because it's means of having other people avoid that because of the seriousness of the punishment. Deterrent. So this is what actually Islam does. It deters people from falling into that crime, which is sound. He said, secondly, there must be some monitoring of all these different organizations, some other higher institution, organization, which overlooks, or which not overlooks, which looks after these places and makes sure that they follow the rules and the regulations. And that was done in the recent royal decree. An institution, organization was put together to actually go after the corruption. And we hope, inshallah, that it will be effective in doing so. Thirdly, beginning an Islamic slogan which says, where did you get that from? So the Shaykh is saying that we should have this new term, which basically is, where did you get that from? Okay, so if I see, where did you get that shirt from? Or if I see you have five, where did you get the 5 riyals from? Now, you may have some reservations, or at least I have some reservations to such a behavior every time. Where did you get that from? Hey, I got it from where I got it from, you know what I mean? I don't have to tell you my personal thing. Of course, if you're skeptical about me stealing, there are other means for you to verify and investigate. But where did you get that from? You know, Allah gave it to me. To prevent rashwa, bribery, and having a connection which gets you by when you're not supposed to get by, the removing this feeling among people that they are oppressed, the people feeling that they're worthless, they can't really do anything, this actually creates a lot of problems in the society. Fulfilling people's needs, basic needs, such as food, drink, accommodation, education, treatment. Medical treatment. These things should be provided. And by the way, even though some people praise the Western countries for supposedly providing all of these, the truth is they don't. They may provide some, provided that you meet some conditions. And then if you do meet these conditions, you're somewhat humiliated in the process, because now you as a Muslim, you're getting from the non-Muslim who's showing his favor over you. And at the end of the day, you're giving back to the society. Taxes are being taken from you. This is the very money with which the military force is supported and the Muslims are killed. So don't be fooled by the hype that if you go there, they're going to give you. In these countries, education is not free. There's a student loan with interest, which they will give you, and you will have to pay back. In some European countries, it is free. But again, there are limits and conditions which entail the humiliation of a Muslim on the hands of a non-Muslim. And our honor, our Islamic honor, prevents us from that. No, I don't want anyone to do me a favor. I got my own things. And so this kind of attitude, which people run away to the Western world thinking that they're going to find a haven of opportunity, is now as a fallacy. The truth is, you go there and you're one of two people. Either you're a real Muslim, so all eyes are on you, or you're going to take off Islam so you can please them, and you've lost. And so in either case, you're in trouble. What you have here, you don't have anywhere else. Not for you, not for your children. Education, fair. Education there is better. On the expense of what though? On your son coming back, someone different than the one that you had been raising here. The tahfiz became memorization of lyrics and songs. That's what happens in many cases. I mean, the children, good actors. He may come here and act like he still has his Muslim identity. And within, he's fascinated with the kuffar and he hates the Muslims deeply. Very, very dangerous reality. If you haven't experienced it, then I'm sharing it with you. Lastly, necessitating qualification, that people who run particular positions must be, they have the credentials and the qualifications to do so in order to prevent this kind of corruption. And among the last things is zakah. The zakah being imposed on the people. He swore by Allah that if all the rich trade merchants paid their zakah, then there will be not a single poor Muslim in the world. And this is a fact. We have millionaires, billionaires among the Muslims who just don't pay zakah. So making sure that they pay zakah. Now, what is the conclusion? What is the source of all this problem? It is loving the dunya. Loving the dunya. This is really what brings about. And he quoted a statement of Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah, in his book, Ihya Ulumuddin, which is a book that you have to be careful of, because it contains a lot of incorrect information, fabricated narrations, and views which are not orthodox, according to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And it contains a lot of benefits as well. Imam Ghazali, rahimahullah, was a scholar that is very controversial, because he's got his, you know, good and bad, as they say. Rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'ah, nevertheless. But you just have to be careful, because that book is very commonly distributed among the Muslims. I know it's translated to other languages, but the information therein requires revision and verification, which has been done in the Arabic world. In the Arab world, they've revised the book and they've published an authentic version of the book, which is excellent. After the revision, it's one of the unique books, because he was a very intellectual person. But not everything he said, rahimahullah, is something which you can take with your eyes folded. But he said, the desires are many, and no slave is free of all of them, or some of them. But all of them are united under one fundamental principle, loving the dunya. This is why loving the dunya is the head of every sin and the foundation of every deficiency and the source of every form of corruption. Which is really true. Had we not loved the dunya so much, then we wouldn't be spreading corruption or trying to get things which are not rightfully ours on the expense of harming another Muslim. Have we really not loved the dunya? So with this, the Shaykh... He said, the last statement, he said, this civilization, human civilization, shall not come about, shall not be established, shall not prosper until we are able to get rid of corruption. We have to eliminate corruption from the societies. This Monday, inshallah ta'ala, after Salatul Isha, at the International Medical Center, the hospital in Hayr Ruwais, on Ha'il Street, there's a lecture titled, Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. Wolves in Sheep's Clothing. Men and women and children who don't make noise are invited to attend free of charge. No one will talk to you. No one will tell you to write down your name. Investigate with you. Come, listen, finish, leave. Simple as that. If you want to ask a question at the end of the lecture, you may do so. So we look forward to seeing you there. Again, oneway2paradise.net, where you can get the audio files for these lectures and the khutbah translation. And youtube.com/oneway2paradise is when you can get the video lectures that you have missed out on in the past. Jazakumullah khair for your patience. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.